Dearly beloved, we have gathered here to get through this thing called life. LYF, love yourself first. I'm Kola Taylor here with Davina Mills, certified personal trainer and nutrition specialist with Honey Hive Fitness. I said yes. that right? Yes, Honey Hive
yes,
Fitness.
Yes, the hive, yes.
Oh, I love it. See, that's a part of the beehive I could be a part of, I think, you know?
Right.
I'm not really down with Beyonce, but I could definitely do the Honey Hive.
good.
How are you doing today, ma'am?
Thank you so much for having me and reaching out to me to do this. I love fitness, right? It's my passion. I love helping women everywhere reclaim so much that they give to everyone else around them. And so this just gives me one more way, one more vehicle to pump that message out there. So thank you. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling in shape and I'm happy to be here.
You're looking great. I could tell you that right now.
So thank you.
Thank you for being a part of this. Cause you know, we want everybody to love themselves first. And you know, one of those things is fitness and well, not even just fitness, but nutrition, you know, whatever you put into your body, right? Mm-hmm. So how exactly did you get started into nutrition and fitness?
Okay. So I'm 40 years old. I'm a mom of two. My oldest daughter is 16 and the youngest is 8. I live in the gym right now. And again, I am a certified personal trainer in the Atlanta, Georgia area, but it wasn't always that easy to sum up in 140 characters for Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. Back in 2018, I was going through a terrible divorce. My job was extremely stressful. As a matter of fact, I used to be the public relations manager for Six Flags Over Georgia. And so any other day they'd have me on a roller coaster, 100 feet up in the air, live on TV, trying to make that seem exciting and fun. And for, you know, an approaching 40-year-old woman, it was
not exciting or fun.
So I was extremely stressful trying to, you know, balance career and home, extremely detached from my kids' lives because I was so stressed all the time. And so, you know, I, like most people, decided, okay, something's got to change. And I thought what I could control was my outward appearance. So I jumped in the gym, and all of 2019, I worked out, and I worked out on myself as well. So inside and outside, I lost a ton of weight. I stopped the emotional eating and I had more balance in my life, but I still didn't have the figure that I wanted. I saw a couple of women in the gym one day, they looked fierce, honey. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want that body. And so I asked them what they did. They told me about resistance training and bodybuilding, and the rest is history. So for me, you know, this is a part of my life. It is everything that I do now because I got laid off from Six Flags Over Georgia in October, mm-hmm. during the pandemic, mm-hmm. but it was okay. I packed up my little box of stuff, walked out to my car, said deuces. Okay. I knew exactly what I wanted to do because I told God back in February that if I could just be in the gym every day, I'd be so happy. And lo and behold, life gave me what I asked for. And here I am today. I started Honey Hive Fitness for women who are looking to take back with motherhood stretched out. I work with women who really, really are committed and dedicated to not only changing their outward appearance, but also work on themselves and have the confidence to rock that body. So you right. can't just go in there and work out every day if you don't have the confidence in yourself. Every time you lift heavier or harder, it teaches you something about your character and about how strong you really are.
And let's talk about like heavy lifting also, because I know with a lot of, there's that misconception that heavy lifting is going to make you look bulky and like mannish. So like, what advice do you have to that?
Yeah. I get that from potential clients and even my own clients. Like, I don't want to look veiny. I don't want to look super strong. I don't want to look like a man. Well, let me tell you something, honey. You cannot look like a man unless you are a man, first of all. Our bodies, you know, there are some women who are dedicated. Me, I'm a bodybuilder, but not everybody wants that same track, right? So your muscle and your body, you can be what we call toned, which is really a buzzword. There's no such thing as toned. It's just looking more muscular or just more dried out, right? More vascular as you reduce your body fat. And for us who compete, you know, we try to get down as close as possible so that our muscles pop, and that's how you look. For the average everyday woman, if you lift weights, you're gonna build curves, right? You're gonna build confidence. You're going to reduce fat, which is what I do. It's much different than weight loss. Mm-hmm. I help women reduce fat and not introduce new fat into their body. so that they can get the shape, they look better in their clothes. And of course, there's better sleep, better mood, better energy. When you lift weights, you find that you can do things a lot easier. It makes the things that suck in life also more tolerable. So when you're pushing your furniture around to clean, you know, or you got to bring groceries up 3 flights of stairs, you're not huffing and puffing. Those are the things that are important in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know I've been huffing and puffing a few times going up some stairs, girl. What about fad dieting? Because every time I turn around, there's a brand new, shiny, you know, diet that's out there. You know, you have the keto diet, the Whole 30 diet, the Hollywood diet, you know, all these different things, you know, and it all looks great. But, you know, how do you know what's good for you?
There's intermittent fasting. There's Beachbody. There's Atkins. There's low carb. There's no carb. There, you know. It's crazy, right? The amount of information that is just being thrown at people and the way it's presented makes it seem like, oh, if you just do these things, this is the secret. Well, I'll tell you the truth. There is no secret. When it comes to diet and nutrition, it's two totally different things. Diet is what makes up what you eat on a nutritional basis every single day. So when someone says, I'm on a diet, a lot of times people automatically associate that with restricting themselves from things that make them feel good or things that taste good. For me, when I use the word diet, it is what makes up what's in my nutrition every single day. So my diet currently consists of lean poultry, no dairy, because I'm lactose intolerant. It consists of, you know, certain types of carbs, but I do eat them. And vegetables, a lot of water. My diet also tells me that I need to get sleep and I need to be working out, doing cardio and things like that, right? So when we talk about diet, it's what's on your plate. So some people eliminate things like sugar and some people eliminate things like fat, you know, things like that to create a diet. So these fad diets, they all, if you do them correctly, can have some benefits for you if you feel like you can follow a list of criteria, but they only work if you do them correctly. I think that what our doctors told us 20, 30, 40 years ago still rings true. And it's probably the best advice is to make sure you are eating, you know, correctly by eating off of that food pyramid. And it's not so much what's on your plate, but how much and how you're eating and what other activity you're doing. So proper diet, nutrition, plus exercise combined, you know, gives you the results that you're looking for.
So when you were talking about portions, like I've heard portion sizes, like that you want something the size of like your fist or something like that. Like that, that's the portion sizes. I have small hands, you know, my stomach is bigger than my fist.
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised, actually. Your stomach is actually about the size of your fist. So when we're eating, for women generally, and this is taught by the certification program that I went through, which is the ISSA, that we need about 4 to 5 ounces of protein, which is about the size of your palm. You need about 2 cups of vegetables, which is about 2 handfuls or 2 palmfuls. And when we talk about carbs, it's 1 palmful. For me, my diet is 4 to 5 ounces of lean meats like chicken, shrimp, and white fish. I do about 3 ounces of vegetables, dark green vegetables. So things like broccoli, asparagus, green beans, spinach, kale, arugula. And then my carbs are usually sweet potato, red potato, white rice, like jasmine rice, or I can also have half an English muffin. So if you get really creative, you can turn that into a little sandwich and you're good to go.
Oh, that sounds good. You know, it's because I know a lot of people cut out carbs. So being that as a male, like, are carbs truly bad for you or can you still have some?
Yes, you need carbs. We need all of those macros. When we talk about macros, that is a healthy balance of your protein, your carbs, and your healthy fats. So yes, you need carbs. I know that when people hear the word carb or carbohydrate, they automatically think that it's cake, bread, donuts, cupcakes,
all the chips, things I love,
fat,
yes.
Right? But no, those aren't necessarily carbs. Yes, those contain carbs, but everything eventually breaks down to sugar, which is carb. So for me, my carbs again are like jasmine rice, brown rice, sweet potatoes, red potatoes. I love roasting those. And I do eat carbs every day. I'd have white rice cakes or, you know, something like that. So you can have the carbs, but you need to be mindful. Now, if you are on a good routine where you're working out several times a week and you're doing your cardio, then yes, you should be able to have and enjoy, you know, a nice meal with your family or go out with friends, have a drink or whatever, because everything in moderation, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about restricting yourself, and don't create an unhealthy relationship with food by just cutting everything out. Number one, maybe seek out somebody who is knowledgeable and can help create that diet for you or that nutrition for you, like a nutritionist or a dietitian, two totally different things, but they both kind of work in tandem.
So you said they're two different things. Like what are the differences between a nutritionist and a dietitian?
So dietitians typically help with people who may have extended challenges, right? Like maybe you have an intolerance to certain things. So you have to, like, gluten or lactose or, you know, different things like that. Or maybe a pre-diabetic, someone where you have medical issue. So a dietitian is going to help make sure that you have the right things in your diet so that you don't flare up your intestines and things like that. A nutritionist basically helps you make sure that you have a good balance of the minerals, the vitamins, and, you know, the nutrients that you need to make up your diet as well. Even your personal trainer can help you, because if they're certified, then they've also taken a lot of this information and can help you on a general basis to help figure that out for you.
Now, what exactly is gluten? Because, you know, back in the day, I've never heard of gluten. Nobody had a gluten allergy. Nobody had a peanut allergy. All of a sudden, everybody's allergic to everything.
Like, how did this happen? Well, technology, and as we go, you know, forward with more information and the wave of information, sources like this, like YouTube, where people are able to compare what's going on with their body, and, you know, WebMD and all these things, are helping people be more connected. And we're learning so much more every day about health and science and the medical field. And so where a gluten allergy may not have been as pronounced, or you may not have heard, I think maybe a lot of people just suffered and didn't know. And so as, you know, the medical field gets better and there's more education and our professionals are being more educated on what to look for, then they're able to identify those things.
Got you. So when it comes to nutrition, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see people make?
Number one is just being on a starvation diet. That's number one. People think that they have to have about 1,200 calories a day in order to lose weight. So what they do is they just eat nothing. I think that's the number one thing that my clients usually come to me with is, I don't eat that much, girl. And I'm like, that's your problem. Mm-hmm. You're not eating enough. Because if you don't eat, then your metabolism is not regulated. And they're like, hey, we don't know when she's going to eat again. So let's store everything as fat. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's not good. Another really bad thing that people come to when it comes to diet is, you know, just cutting out everything, again, not having things in moderation. So they suffer. And that shows. Not having enough protein in their diet is huge. I eat more than a pound of meat a day. So because I'm eating 5 to 6 times a day, because I work out quite extensively. But aside from that, you should try to have at least bare minimum your 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a snack, and then maybe throw in a protein shake or something like that. Our muscles need the protein. Our body needs the protein. So you can't just sit around and eat salads all day, honey. You got to make sure you have protein. Don't starve yourself. You know, there's a way to do it so that you have balance in your life and that you can still enjoy food. And it should taste good. That's the last thing. A lot of people just, they don't season it. They get bored and they're like, forget this, and they throw it out. You know, most seasonings, they don't really have a whole lot of calories, if any. It's the sodium that you have to watch. But when I'm looking at the shelf on the, you know, the spices, aisle at Walmart is packed with flavor. So you don't have to just eliminate flavor from your food either. You can have fun with it. You can take those ingredients, create a taco or create some sort of Mediterranean medley or whatever, and have fun with your food.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that, because I've seen videos where, you know, there's people out there that are in the health and the fitness areas, and they're like, you know, so what if it doesn't taste good? Like, just eat it. It's good for you. It's supposed to go in your body. And I'm like, I can't do that. You know, like, I'm shallow when it comes to my men, and I'm shallow when it comes to my food. Like
that, yes.
I need flavor in both categories, you know?
Right.
So I'm very happy to hear somebody actually says that, because I mean, you're right. And it also goes into your longevity, into living a healthy lifestyle, because mm-hmm. if you don't like it, you're not, it's going to be torture for you to try to, you know, eat it, you know?
It's not sustainable. Right.
Exactly. And I think that kind of goes into the fad dieting also, because, you know, they want you to eat that bland food a lot of times, and you just don't want to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always ways to substitute things as well. And like I said, you know, eat what feels good to you, but you know, try your best to stick with it if you're going to try one of those fad diets, because they only work if you're consistent. And that's for anything in life. Mm-hmm. Anything in life, be consistent.
Definitely. Now, there was a thing back in the day, and I don't know if they still do it, but, you know, eating according to your blood type, you know, because I saw something with like O positive or O blood types, you know, is more protein, like more beefs, more chickens, more poultry. A blood type is something completely different. Now, would you know anything about that?
So I am a nutrition specialist, but I am not a phlebotomist. And so I don't claim to know a whole lot about that field. But what I will tell you, there is some truth to that. There is some truth to eating to your blood type to maintain those red blood cells, those healthy white blood cells as well, the plasma in your blood and all of that. So there are way more people that are skilled than I am that can help you if you want to go that route. But I think a lot of times things start to get so technical that people just don't do anything. Right. And so, you know, it's a little less important when you're starting out on a fitness journey to look at your blood type. But going to get blood work though is important. So when you go to your primary care physician before you start any fitness journey, you should go on ahead and get those tests run so they can make sure that your hormones are in check, because ladies, we have so much going on with our hormones. They regulate everything from our temperature to how much cortisol we have in our bodies, which, you know, ultimately determines how much, you know, weight you're going to have around your midsection and throughout your body. You know, hormones regulate everything. Yeah, that monthly cycle, all of that, your T counts, all of those things are important. So get them checked out if you haven't done that in a while, because it'll let you know where your imbalances are and maybe flag some things as well to help you be more successful. I would also say, when it comes to your genetics, right? So you've got your blood type, but then you also have your genetics and your genes and your origin of your culture and your race and where that comes from also plays a part into how you should eat, right? So you have some cultures that may really work well on keto with that high fat diet because they may need that to survive in the climate that they're in. Whereas other genetics that have been passed down, cultures and races, ethnicity, where it's more maybe island and warm and, you know, those things. And that's what your body needs to eat according to that to sustain itself. So think about where you live and you know, what your climate is, what your region is. A lot of times it'll tell you based on what grows prevalent in your community, right? So out west, you're going to have oranges and avocados and things like that. And on the south side, you know, or east, you may have other vegetables and things like that. Collards and, you know, cabbages and things like that you may want to eat because those are natural, you know, from the ground and ultimately work together. That's why, like for the hive, when we talk about honey, you know, if you have honey that's grown locally, it helps with your allergies. So I try to tell all of my clients, no matter where they are, when they're using honey, try to get the one that's grown locally, because that is what's in that honey and what those bees have produced is going to help you with your allergies and, you know, add special health benefits to that tea or on top of your oats or drizzled on your rice cake or whatever you're doing. So think about not only your blood type, but where you live, what your ethnicity is, what grows around you naturally, and try to incorporate those things into your plan.
Yeah, I heard about the honey thing also. I wasn't sure if that was one of those old wives' tales or whether that was actually true, but it's nice confirmation for that.
Very, very true. And there's so many health benefits with honey. So if you're looking for, like, if you have a sugar addiction and you're looking for a good alternative, honey is it. I'm not saying go and just pour honey on everything, but you'll get a lot more benefit out of that as a sweet supplement versus stevia or sugar.
Mm. I heard stevia wasn't that good for you though. I mean, is that a myth or?
I think, for me, I don't eat a lot of sugar and I don't recommend people to have a lot of sugar because once your palate is, you've kind of detoxed your body, you're on a good, clean diet, your palate will change and you don't need to have a lot of sugar. You need to be eating foods the natural way that they've grown and you can enjoy and appreciate its natural sweetness.
Mm, I hear that. Now, I read somewhere that some herbal supplements are bad for you. So you have to be careful on what supplements that you take. Can you give us any insight on how to determine what is good for you and what's not?
So number one, look at the ingredients, and that's on anything. Mm-hmm. Whether it's food, supplements, protein. If you're a mom that's nursing, you may not want something with a ton of caffeine. So, just make sure that you're looking at the labels to make sure you know what's in it. If you can't pronounce it, chances are it's not that herbal.
You're right.
Because herbs and things like that are, supplements that are natural and things that you recognize to be healthy or have health benefits. Like I said, shelves full of supplements, some to help you wake up, some to help you sleep, some to help you burn fat, some to help you have energy, some to help you with this and that. Talk to someone that you know and trust. Or make sure you talk to, the manager or something like that at the store before you buy to get more insight on the product. You can always also, go to the actual company and go in there on their website and pull up, the different details that they have there that'll explain what the ingredients are and what they claim to do and then make a more educated decision from there.
Now, talking about things on the shelf and, how you say that there's all these different signs all over the place. Now, the big signs for me have been like the low carb and the zero sugar and all this. Now, I'm hearing that that's not a lot of times the best avenue to go.
You can't just look for the buzzwords, right? So reading the labels, it'll really tell you, like when you look at the nutrition facts and things like that, or even telling you what the serving size is or how many actual sugars, because if you look at like maybe a food label, it'll have how many grams of sugar, like total grams, and then extra added sugar. Look at that. And you got to look at those. It'll talk about carbs versus net carbs and what the difference is between that. So without going into granular detail on this, because it's YouTube and it gets boring quick, I would say, don't just go for the buzzword. I know a lot of people who do keto who say, oh, this is keto friendly. I can eat it. They open the package and eat it. Don't even realize how many calories they just consumed. A lot of times those packets may be, it'll say 230 calories per serving, but that one pack is 4 servings. So you just ate enough for 4 people. So be very careful about what's on the label. You shouldn't be spending a whole lot of time in the grocery store reading all the labels, because if you're doing that, then, you probably shouldn't be eating it. I would say when you're, looking for nutritional value, if it doesn't have a label, that's what you should be eating. Things like healthy fruits, vegetables, things that have grown off of a tree, out of the ground, or lean meats and poultry.
I was watching a program a while ago. I can't remember what the program was, but the guy said that if you really wanted to change your nutrition, when you go grocery shopping, you're kind of like the rule of thumb is to go around the perimeter of the grocery store. So, you know, you're starting off in fruits and vegetables, and then you're back at poultry, and then you're in like the frozen food section or whatever. But he said that that's basically where your nutrition lies, not in the middle. The middle is all the frozen stuff that you don't want.
Yes. Yes. Aside from toilet paper, paper towels, that's fine, honey. But yeah, we stay away from the middle aisles. We don't do that. Like, we just walk right by. Now, on the fringe, there's going to be like maybe some olive oil, some seasoning. You know, you do have to get your rice and things like that, that are staples that you should have in your home. Canned vegetables also are okay. A lot of people think I can only eat fresh. That's not true. You can have canned vegetables to save time. Even frozen is better than nothing. But yes, go ahead and go around the outside, get those eggs, you know, make sure you have that protein, try fish, stay away from the bakery section, and really fill up your plate with filling whole foods.
What about supplements? You know, because I know with a lot of, like, let's be real, most of us don't ingest, you know, a lot of what we need from our foods. So as far as like actual vitamins that you're getting off of the shelf, like, how do you know which ones to get? Because I kind of steer towards the gummies,
yeah, no,
which is
gummies
probably
are
bad.
Fine.
Okay.
They're fine. Again, it's all going to come down to ingredients. You can pick up a couple of, you know, brands that you trust and then compare the back, you know, look to see how much of a percentage of vitamin A and vitamin B and C, D, E, and K are actually in that vitamin, right? That'll help you choose. For me, like I said, I really want women to make sure that they're looking at their nutrition and diet and health in a certain way. So I recommend that every woman have a complete vitamin that she's taking every day. This helps with skin. It helps with hair, nails, but also it helps regulate your metabolism, keeps you regular, and again, helps you get that folic acid, different things that, you know, that you need that you're right, that you maybe won't consume from your food. So complete multivitamin is important every day. Some people really love fish oil. That's another one that, you know, is debatable, but you definitely could take that. Other supplements that you may want to try, again, it's just like maybe a good protein shake with not a lot of carbs, not a lot of calories, right? But this is not a smoothie. It's a big difference. Protein shake, Premier Protein, if you want one that's already mixed, is a great option. Look for one that's at least 25 grams of protein or more to get the best benefit. And yeah, you can kind of start supplementing there. And then, you know, then you can get off into some of the more intricate ones once you have a better idea of what your goals are and you've talked to your trainer or nutritionist about how you should continue to supplement your diet.
Now, you said that the protein shake isn't a smoothie, but I see the majority of the people, that's how they make it, is like a smoothie fashion. Like, is that completely wrong or?
Like... No, so, I mean, I think to each his own. When I am not in competition mode or what we call prep, then yes, I will add some fruit to my, you know, to a shake and pour some protein in. I guess it's more of like a smoothie with protein added versus a protein shake, which is protein. And you make it with water, almond milk or something like that. And that's basically it. You don't add a bunch of stuff to your protein shake. Sometimes for flavor, you could maybe do some nuts or peanut butter, maybe a banana, but honestly, you really just need to be having the protein because the more you add, it turns into a larger meal and then it just becomes a meal replacement shake and not a protein shake. So that is the difference. The smoothie though is packed with sugar and all the things that we love. So berries, you know, people put juice, strawberries, bananas, kiwis, you know, you get really creative. It's really frothy, almost like a milkshake. And then you have protein just to make yourself feel good. But yeah, there's a big difference between protein shake and a smoothie.
Got you. For working out, how long should somebody work out like on a regular basis in order to like really make a healthy difference?
So what, if you're not doing anything right now, even 15 minutes is beneficial for you. If you've been sedentary because of COVID and you've gained that quarantine 15, just get up and do something. Listen, if you could just do something, it's better than nothing, right? So, you know, going to YouTube and following along with a video or get out in your neighborhood after dinner and just walk up and down the street is better than nothing. But rule of thumb is that 45 minutes to an hour of exercise a day, well, you'll see more benefits, right? For me in the Hive, we do about 30 minutes of cardio. And then the ladies also have a workout program that they do. Well, we're not in the gym all day, but, you know, 30 minutes of cardio 5 days a week will definitely help you see results pretty quickly, especially if you haven't been doing anything. And when we say cardio, cardio can be anything, ladies. Honey, it does not have to be boring, okay? You can get on the treadmill, walk at an incline of about maybe 6 or 7 at 3.0 speed. Here's a good tip. Do not hold on. You know, when you see people holding on to the rails or holding on to the top of the machine, you're doing your body a disservice, because if you have to hold on, that means you can't keep up with that particular setting. So you need to bring it down. Don't hold on. Make sure that you're getting the most out of that workout and let your body do the full workout. Other cardio options are elliptical, Stairmaster if you're in the gym, or like I said, maybe some sort of HIIT, high intensity interval training, where you're doing a group of circuit of exercises with maybe a 20 to 30 second break in between them. Other cardio ideas: you can put on your favorite music and dance while you mop in the house. You can go walk or run down to the corner and back a few times. You can jump rope. You can ride a bike. You can go, you know, walk around Stone Mountain if you're in Georgia, but whatever it is, you know, just make sure you're doing it. Get up and try to sweat for about a good 30 minutes a day. And that is cardio.
Man, I tell you, before COVID, you know, like I wasn't really like, well, I'll take that back. When I was younger, I was in the gym a lot, you know, then I got a little bit older, got very lazy, you know, but before COVID, like I made a plan for myself. I was swimming in the mornings, or if I couldn't swim, then I was, you know, walking. But I was so good. Like normally my rate is like 2 months. 2 months, and then all of a sudden I'm off again, you know. But this time I was good for a good 6 months, girl. I was in there, you know, and then COVID happened, the gym closed, and
just kind of fell off.
Yes, for the past year and a half, I'm like, I really need to get back into it.
Yes.
You know, and the gyms are open now, so I have no.
I think that's number one is motivation, right?
Right.
Being motivated and committed to something. Once you make your mind up, and only you know when you're ready to do that, then you say, I'm going to do this and nothing's going to stop me. You will understand going in that, yes, it's going to be uncomfortable. Yes, there's going to be times where you're going to sweat that hair out. Yes, you know, your muscles may ache a little bit, but that's what glutamine powder is for. Like, there are things that you can do to make sure that, you know, you stay committed to your goal. You know, maybe find a team of folks that you can stay accountable with, where you guys are tagging each other on a platform, like social media platform, so that you don't feel like you're, you know, being left behind or miss out. Some of your own personal cheerleaders that can help you. I can tag me in your videos, girl. Listen, you got to find some way to say, you know what, enough is enough. There are enough excuses and not enough days. So let me just get up and get my butt in there and do what I gotta do. Start out with what you can do and be proud of that, right? So you're doing 30, 45 minutes in the gym. Find a good routine that you like and do that, and then continue to increase it as you go, but be proud that you are starting, because there's so many people who just keep putting it off. And then when they wake up one day and realize they can't move, or they have back issues, or they're just seriously depressed and unhappy with themselves because they let themselves go for too long. And it's not always about the vanity. Like, the body is okay. Like, having a banging body is okay, but nothing compares to how good healthy feels. So, you know, if you can think about it that way, you know, that you're giving yourself hours back to your life, you're adding longevity to your life. Every time you do something for yourself that gets your heart going, your body will thank you for it in return by giving you a more beautiful physique. But really, it's about taking care of yourself. You know, you give so much of your time to everything else around you. Make sure you take some of that back for yourself, put it into yourself, and you will be happier.
I love that. And I tell you, if I ever, you know, pictures are definitely like, what do they call it? Like, they're, hindsight is 20/20. You know, when I was younger, I had the Sir Mix-a-Lot body, the 36, 24, 36, but I used to like cover it up like TLC, like in the baggy clothes and stuff like that. And I thought I was fat, Now I look back and I'm like, I wish I was as fat as I was then. Now,
yeah, you know, yeah. I think society has changed. Society has changed a lot about what is beautiful and what is overweight and what is not. I have some amazing honeys and some competitors that are a lot thicker. They're friends that are, you know, bigger, right? But they can do amazing things with their body that I can't even do. So size is relative, weight is relative. And that's why I don't teach weight loss. I teach fat loss, which is a big difference. If you can get that fat out and learn the right way to not introduce new fat to your body, then you are on the road to success when it comes to having the physique that you want and maintaining it so that you don't have to start over every 3 to 6 months, because you have the keys and you've created a lifestyle and you know how to move. But when we talk about, you know, weight, you know, that's all out the window, because there's so many beautiful bodies that come in so many different shapes and sizes that we can appreciate and that we need to.
Mm-hmm. But I tell you, if I can slim down a little bit more, I will be naked in these streets like Erykah Badu. Y'all don't even know. Like, yes, yes. And I'm ready for it.
Good.
So do you have any other suggestions for, you know, people listening who are trying to get on that weight loss journey?
Number one, you know, I would say just start, right? Mm-hmm. Just start, even if it's just walking up and down the street. Give yourself that opportunity to try. And then from there, congratulate yourself, right? Celebrate every single success and keep it moving. And number two, don't compare your journey to anybody else. It's yours and yours alone. I know with Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, the interworldwide, whatever.
Yes.
There are so many messages telling you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not pretty enough. And that, unfortunately, is the world we live in. But I'm here to tell you, you are worth it to yourself and that you are enough. So listen to that, understand that, believe in that. And when you start to believe in yourself and love every curve, every inch, every wrinkle on your body, it will love you back. So that would be my advice for women, because I know it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Because I have clients that come to me that have knee pain, lower back pain, you know, and they just like, I don't want to be this way. And I know that I can't, I just need someone to push me. So go, you know, Google, find a local trainer in your area that may be able to hold your hand and assist you, show you the correct way to use, you know, the machines in your gym, learn the best way to work through some of those challenges, and just don't quit. No matter what, I know sometimes our families are not supportive or things get in the way, but just remember why you're doing it. Write down your why, really huge on a piece of paper, literally just write down why. Tape it up somewhere where you see it every single day and stay committed to that goal. Even when it's raining, even when it's snowing, even when the streets are calling and when the cake is on the table, don't eat the cake. Don't eat the cake, honey.
Oh my gosh, but you know, Ike said to eat the cake. I'm gonna eat the cake.
Yeah, no. Anime. No, we are not eating the cake. No. It's so, you know, bad. What? You can have something else, you know. Don't restrict yourself. Now, if it's birthday, holiday, something, by all means, if you've been working, have a slice of cake. Right. But when you get ready to feel that pain or that regret or those emotions, don't eat them. Get up and go walk. Mm-hmm. Do that instead. Think through that. Process that pain, you know. Really try to find yourself in there, right? And tell yourself that this is temporary, right? I'm gonna be on the other side of this obstacle soon. But in the meantime, I'm sticking to my goal. You know, I know what I want and I'm going for it, and there's nothing stopping me in my way.
I know that's right. Well, I appreciate you coming on to Life, Love Yourself First. And, you know, you've shown us many, many ways on doing that. One thing that you did mention was the glutamine powder. I've never heard of that. But, you know, once I start on my loss, I'm definitely going to pick some up.
Yes, glutamine is tremendous, right? You can get it at GNC or a Vitamin Shop or even online. You want to maybe get the powder, not the pill form, just because they make you take too many pills. But the powder form is great. You drop that into your protein shake.
Not a smoothie.
Drop that in your protein shake either before or after your workout, it really helps reduce DOMS, which is delayed onset muscle soreness. That's that feeling you feel when maybe you worked out on Monday and by Wednesday, your body feels like you got hit by a truck.
Right.
That's DOMS. So if you're taking that glutamine, it gets into your muscles and it helps repair them. It helps you recover so that you can make it back into the gym over and over. And you don't have to say, well, I'm going to wait till my legs stop hurting and then I'll go back, because you know you won't. So Get that glutamine powder into your system. And that just really helps with the recovery to allow you to push through your workouts. And then once you start getting good, you start talking to people in the gym and you start, you know, learning what it's all about, then maybe you get up pre-workout and that'll help push you. But first things first is just start. Just get up, walk in there and see what it's about and absorb that energy. Don't be afraid to ask people for help or guidance, because that's what they're there for.
Girl, I need the glutamine just to get out of bed some days, but I would definitely pick that up for when I start my journey. Again, I appreciate you so much, Davina. Please give them your social medias and your websites so people know to follow you.
Absolutely. So Honey High Fitness, that's HUNNI, HiveFitness.com. And I'm also on Instagram at Davina Maxine. That's the two best ways to follow me.
Perfect. Again, we appreciate you coming on to Life. Enjoy your day. You're beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. So are you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.